Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The resignation of Sir Geoffrey Donaldson from the leadership of the DUP caught all of us unawares.
There has been a statement from the DUP confirming that he has been charged with allegations of an historical nature and indicating that he is stepping down as leader of the Democratic Unionist Party with immediate effect.
The Lagan Valley MP now faces a number of serious criminal charges, including rape.
They are 11 in total, and against Sir Geoffrey, it's a single count of rape, single count of gross indecency, further 9 counts of indecent assault.
His wife, Eleanor, is also facing serious criminal charges.
Lady Donaldson faces a single charge of aiding and abetting.
And the DUP say they will be putting up a candidate in the Lagan Valley constituency.
He is suspended from our party, so in that scenario, he cannot be a candidate for the DUP. And for us as a party, our focus will now be ensuring that Lagan Valley gets representation that it needs.
Is this a massive opportunity now for the Alliance Party, or can the DUP retain the seat?
Hi everyone, just a quick update from me. We know that we have a brilliant chance to make positive history in Lagan Valley, but we're not taking anything for granted. And we really look forward to delivering and working hard for you every day on the ground.
In this episode of The Bell Tale, I'm joined by our political editor, Suzanne Breen. Suzanne, this has probably been one of the most unexpected political stories of any of our lifetimes, really. I'd like to start just by updating the Bell Tale audience on the Geoffrey Donaldson story, and that's the Sunday Life has revealed the charges that Sir Geoffrey Donaldson faces. Could you tell us what they are?
Geoffrey Donaldson is facing 11 sex crime charges dating back decades. He faces a single count of rape and a single count of gross indecency and 9 counts of indecent assault. His wife, Lady Eleanor Donaldson, is charged with aiding and abetting additional offences in relation to her husband's case. The charges will be formally put to the pair when the case appears before Newry Magistrates Court next Wednesday. They are both strenuously denying the charges they're facing.
And Geoffrey Donaldson, he hasn't resigned his seat. I think that for some members of the public, they might not understand. He's not obliged to resign his seat under such circumstances. And again, we must stress, he is strenuously denying the charges against him.
That's right. He is staying on as Lagan Valley MP. The DUP says that now that he's been suspended from the party, he's sitting as an independent, that's really up to him, that they don't have any say in what he does. But it's over for Geoffrey Donaldson in terms of public life. I can't see that there's any way back for him after this. He won't be standing in the next Westminster election. And, you know, he is an intelligent man. And I think that innocent until proven guilty, most certainly. He's vigorously challenging the charges against him. But he isn't a fool. He will know that it would virtually be impossible to remain in politics, let alone to come back and lead the DUP after facing these charges.
Now, the DUP say that they have cut off all communication with Sir Geoffrey Donaldson. Nevertheless, his name is still on the door of his Lisburn office, which he shared with Paul Given and Emma Little Bengelly. Why is that?
Well, the DUP operates out of this really beautiful building, the old town hall in Castle Street in Lisburn. It's a Grade 2 listed building. And a sign actually went up on the door last week. It had been down, but it went up stating the Right Honourable Sir Geoffrey Donaldson MP, and it listed Emma Little Pengelly and Paul Given as the two MLAs representing Lagan Valley, and this all appeared under the DUP's logo. Now, that's not technically correct because Sir Geoffrey is suspended from the party. He now sits as an independent. So I think there would have to be questions as to why his name appeared under the DUP logo. Some background has been, I think that the DUP are privately saying that assembly and party rules dictate the name of representatives must be displayed at the front of an office. But the fact remains that his name is there on the sign under the DUP logo when he sits as an independent.
Two DUP councillors are still working for Sir Geoffrey Donaldson. You have revealed that in an exclusive story for the Belfast Telegraph.
That's right. Interim leader Gavin Robinson had said that there was no contact on a party basis whatsoever between the DUP and Sir Geoffrey Donaldson. But I found out that two councillors are continuing to work for him. Lisburn and Castlereagh councillor Thomas Beckett is remaining as Geoffrey Donaldson's office manager and personal assistant, and Armagh, Banbridge and Craigavon councillor Paul Rankin has stayed on as Sir Geoffrey Donaldson's case worker. Now, when I contacted the DUP about this, there was no comment whatsoever from the party. I contacted the two councillors independently. I didn't hear back from Councillor Beckett, but Councillor Rankin, who remains as a caseworker, did come back to me, and he simply said all staff are under contract of employment. As with any employment role, it is separate from my role as an elected representative.
I suppose, in fairness, if my boss had been accused of a crime and charges had been laid against him, I don't think that I would feel under an obligation to resign my job because, you know, I have a mortgage, etc., etc. And also, I mean, Councillor Rankin is a caseworker. He will have open files. He will be looking after people's interests. He will be doing constituency work. So can we understand where they're coming from? Like,
Certainly, you know, one can understand the individual's approach. But I think as a party, the DUP could do better. First of all, it should have put these facts in the public domain itself rather than them having to be disclosed by a journalist. And, you know, the public will judge whether the fact that these two councillors continue to work for Sir Geoffrey, that the public will judge that in line with what Gavin Robinson said about no contact on a party basis whatsoever with Sir Geoffrey, and see if those two fit.
He hasn't stood down as an MP, and it's almost inconceivable that he will stand again as an MP. And the DUP have confirmed that they will be standing a DUP candidate in Lagan Valley. Is there much competition for that? Who's being mentioned in terms of standing there?
First of all, I think the DUP will be breathing a really big sigh of relief that Sir Geoffrey Donaldson hasn't stood down as of yet, because the last thing the party wants is a by-election. The longer it can postpone going to the polls, then the better in the constituency. A by-election would focus voters forensically on the reasons for holding it, the charges against Geoffrey Donaldson. But if the DUP can put it off until a general election, then broader issues come into play. The most likely date for the election is the 14th of November. That's 5 months away. And the party would be hoping that other issues come to occupy the public mind in between, and it's less about Geoffrey Donaldson and the reasons for his stepping aside as DUP leader. There are three names potentially in the frame to run for the DUP in Lagan Valley. Two of them are MLAs. The first name would be Emma Little Pengelly, the Deputy First Minister. Her profile at the moment is sky high. I think she's impressed a lot of people. Her conduct since becoming Deputy First Minister, you know, has been praised to the heavens, even by people who have had no time for her. They think she has behaved in a very stateswoman-like and dignified way. There would be advantages for the DUP in running a female candidate in the given circumstances. I know that Emma Little Pengelly has always wanted to go to Westminster. That's where she sees her future career playing out. But I wonder, might that have changed since she became Deputy First Minister and has had such success at Stormont? She knows, on the other hand, that she has enemies there within the DUP ranks. And without Geoffrey Donaldson, she is a tad exposed. We can potentially see her wings being clipped in the executive in future if she doesn't have his backing.
She was politically close to Geoffrey Donaldson. There's no doubt about that.
She was very, very close to him. And, you know, sources in Stormont would be saying she would be regularly on the phone to him or messaging him, looking for advice, telling him what was happening, asking him for his views. And he always had her back against some very powerful operators in Stormont who don't like her, never liked her, and haven't warmed to her any further. Running for Westminster is also risky for her. She is an unelected MLA. If she was defeated, she would be in a really weak position. The fact that she owes her MLA seat in Lagan Valley to Geoffrey Donaldson is also potentially a minus, because his name was once a big plus in Lagan Valley. That is not the case now in light of these charges. Emma Little Pengelly isn't really that popular in the local DUP association in Lagan Valley. People have raised the question to me, wondering if she would be able to raise canvassing teams, big canvassing teams, to go out with her. Saoirse Eastwood will be an absolutely formidable opponent. She is very assertive. She is not frightened to confront her political rivals. And there would also be a view that it would be unedifying to see someone who was a Deputy First Minister basically be involved in a real street fight with a politician from another party.
Before we move on to Saoirse Eastwood and the Alliance Party, there are two other candidates, two male candidates, also being mentioned in terms of running in Lagan Valley for the DUP. Who are they?
Yes, there are. Well, the other candidate mentioned, the other MLA candidate, is Paul Given, the current Education Minister at Stormont. And in some ways, he's a really natural selection to run. He's very much the local boy. I think he grew up just a few streets away from Saoirse Eastwood. He's Lisburn born and bred. He has always represented Lagan Valley. He's never wandered into any other constituency. But the problem for the DUP is that he does not want to go to Westminster. He absolutely loves Stormont. He loves his new portfolio. He's very much a family man. I don't think he would want really to be away for any length of time during the week from his wife and his daughters. And his ambitions are very much focused on Northern Ireland. He might well see himself as the deputy leader of the DUP moving forward. And I think it would take a very strong appeal from the party to get him to step up to this role. They would have to say, look, really, the survival of the party and the constituency is at stake here, and you need to do it. There'd have to be a lot of pressure put on him. And I have a feeling that he's very much behind his good friend, Johnny Buckley, who is the Upper Ban MLA. And I think Paul Given would probably like to see Johnny Buckley running for the DUP in Lagan Valley. He emerged, I think, as a bit of a wild card candidate. But the more people I talk to and the more I think about it, I can see the arguments for Johnny Buckley running He has always wanted to be an MP, and he has absolutely no chance in his home constituency of Upper Ban, because Carla Lockhart's there. She's a force of nature herself, and she's only a few years older than him, and I don't think she's planning to move on any time soon. Lagan Valley is a neighbouring constituency, and Johnny Buckley's wife, Jill Porter, is actually from the constituency. She's from a farming family in Drumbow. Johnny Buckley is 32 years old. He's very ambitious, and I think the argument might be that if the DUP is facing a TUV challenge in Lagan Valley, then someone like him from the traditional wing of the party, who was anti-Ely, he wasn't in favour of returning to Stormont, might go down quite well. But there's dangers there too, because Saoirse Eastwood and the Ulster Unionist Robbie Butler, I'm sure, would be criticising his candidacy and presenting him as a blow-in to Lagan Valley. His outlook, being very traditional and conservative, might win over some potential TUV votes, but it also might mean that he doesn't fit in as well in Lagan Valley as he does in Upper Ban. Upper Ban's a really hardline constituency. Lagan Valley's changing. I think it would be a much more moderate unionist constituency, and you just don't know if he completely matches it. The DUP Constituency Association, I think, will be, you know, very much trying to wield its influence in who the candidate becomes. Paul Given and Edwin Putz still carry weight there. Edwin Putz is the South Belfast MLA, but, you know, he spent the overwhelming majority of his career in Lagan Valley. So the Constituency Association might take a different view to who they want than the DUP leadership. I don't know how keen Gavin Robinson would be on Johnny Buckley having another, you know, more traditional hardline voice there in the Westminster team. And the DUP may have somebody else in terms of DUP quarters. They may have somebody else entirely in mind. There might be some left field candidate that they introduce to this race.
I just wonder, in terms of the way they're thinking and those outside possibilities, I just wonder, will they have to deal with the fact that Geoffrey Donaldson had a massive vote in Lagan Valley, and some of that vote, an awful lot of that vote, may have been Geoffrey Donaldson's vote and not the DUP's in particular?
That's a really, really big problem for the party. Geoffrey Donaldson has been the MP for 27 years, and he has a really good reputation in Lagan Valley. He is an assiduous constituency worker as an MP. And if we only need to look at the last Assembly election in 2022, Geoffrey Donaldson and Paul Given were the two candidates, and Geoffrey Donaldson secured 13,000 votes to Paul Given's 5,000 votes. So that just shows you what the Donaldson name meant in Lagan Valley. The TUV stood in that election. Lorna Smith took 3,500 votes. And in talking to TUV people, they'll say they weren't able at all to eat into Geoffrey Donaldson's votes. It was very much Paulvin who was more vulnerable to those traditional hardline elements. Again, talking to canvassers from all parties, they would say they would knock on doors, and you know, so many people would say, don't want to take your leaflet, not interested, Geoffrey Donaldson's our man.
Nevertheless, politics is politics, and people will take advantage of the situation they find themselves in. So the Alliance Party have been very active in this constituency. Saoirse Eastwood is a person who, you know, she's got a very high profile. There's a number of factors, I suppose, in her favour in this constituency, and she does seem to be coming out now, really, really pushing herself forward. I mean, we would really expect her to stand for Alliance.
Well, she is Alliance's selected candidate, and she is really the woman, I think, who puts the wind up the DUP. She hasn't said a word about the party since Geoffrey Donaldson its resignation, but it's not hard to work out what she's thinking. She seems to be on the ground in the constituency almost every night, even in some very bad weather, and she's making a point of saying, I am here, I am on the ground. And the unsaid words are, well, Geoffrey Donaldson, the DUP MP, most definitely isn't. I think before these charges were levelled against Geoffrey Donaldson, this Lagan Valley really was a seat the DUP were going to hold on to in the next election. And I think that Alliance's odds have certainly very much improved. It now, I think, would have to be one of the party's top target seats, along with East Belfast and obviously holding North down. Until 2019, Lagan Valley was absolutely solid DUP. In the 2017 Westminster election, Geoffrey Donaldson had taken a 60% vote in a crowded enough field, and he secured five times the votes that the Alliance candidate did then. And then in 2019, Saoirse Eastwood massively increased Alliance's vote. She came to within 6,000 votes of Geoffrey Donaldson. In the 2022 Assembly election, Alliance managed to get two MLAs elected, the same as the DUP. The DUP had always had three in the constituency, but it was two this time round. And boundary changes have also, I think, helped Alliance. The constituency is slightly more has slightly more Catholic nationalist voters than before. And I think it's also becoming much more liberal. So the trends are moving in Alliance's favour in Lagan Valley.
And mathematically, I mean, you're pretty confident that it would be possible for the Alliance Party. This isn't just us speculating to create a story. That, I mean, we don't know. Obviously, there's so many factors involved now, Suzanne, factors that we could not have factored in, that we have never seen before. But you are confident that that they could, after a hard fight, get that far to get past. I mean, obviously not Geoffrey Donaldson's vote, but for this, whoever this new DUP candidate is. And I mean, I'm thinking you did mention Robbie Butler would be in the mix there as well.
Robbie Butler, I think, will be in the mix. You know, I think Lagan Valley is just really all to play for both Alliance and the DUP. In the 2019 Westminster election, when Saoirse Eastwood had ate into Geoffrey Donaldson's majority so extensively, she was just a councillor. She's much more media exposure now because she is an MLA, but she is going to have to win over LP and Sinn Féin votes. She will really need them to get across the line here. Now, I think Alliance would be quite confident that voters in the constituency, non-unionist voters, would vote tactically. But the argument can also be made that the graphic changes and boundary changes mean that in the next Assembly election, there is a chance of a nationalist Assembly seat in the constituency again. So perhaps, you know, Sinn Féin and the SDLP won't really be running only paper candidates in the Westminster election, that they'll be looking at the next Assembly election and they will be wanting to build to that, so that they won't give Saoirse Eastwood an easy run. But that's most definitely not what Alliance think. Alliance think that the battle in the constituency will really be the DUP versus them, and there'll be a lot of tactical voting.
Suzanne, can we journey down the Lagan a little further to East Belfast, where the Gavin Robinson, the current DUP leader, he's the current MP for East Belfast. Now, we know that Alliance will be challenging for that seat also, but we've all been very fascinated by the fact that loyalist activist Jimmy Bryson, well, he says he is considering standing against the DUP's interim leader, Gavin Robinson. And he has said that he's had serious discussions with TUV leader Jim Allister. Now, that has been dished by the TUV's Ron McDowell. He said there's been no such talks. What's the situation there in East Belfast?
Well, Jimmy Bryson has been talking about running in East Belfast now for a month or more. He was chatting about it at the TUV conference at the time that the party announced its link up with Reform UK. He said that he wouldn't join the party. He doesn't see eye to eye to it on a lot of things, despite shared belief. I think he would probably be much friendlier and much more forgiving to some in the DUP who are anti-deal but who are still party loyalists than Jim Allister. Jim Allister would take a more fundamentalist approach. So the idea had kind of circulated that Jimmy Bryson might stand in East Belfast, not as a TUV reform candidate, but with the party's support. And obviously, you know, that would end up as a big media story, not just because he's challenging Gavin Robinson, the leader of the DUP, but also if Naomi Long were to be the Alliance candidate, because Jimmy Bryson had led the Flags protest, which made life hell for Alliance in the past. The rationale for him standing there would be that it's a neighbouring constituency to his own, which is North Down, and also that it's somewhere that he would potentially have a pull. If Jimmy Bryson did stand, I think in order not to embarrass himself, he would need to get at least 2,000 votes. He had stood for election to the council in 2011 when he was a teenager. He secured 167 votes, but he would have to definitely do much better than that. Now, Ron McDowell of the TUV was on Talkback on Monday, and he really seemed to rule out Jimmy Bryson standing. He said that there had been no discussions that he'd heard, that he'd been part of, in which Jimmy Bryson's name was mentioned as an East Belfast candidate. And Ron McDowell is the deputy leader of the party, so you would expect him to be in the know. The TUV then released a statement, and it said that the party recognised that Jimmy Bryson had made a significant contribution to the fight against the sea border, and they hoped that that would continue. Discussions about the Westminster election and possible candidates are continuing, with the TUV starting its own process officially last week. And the statement ended with, "We would expect a TUV candidate to be on the ballot paper in East Belfast." And I would read that statement as saying that the party does have somebody in mind in its own ranks for East Belfast.
And finally, do you think, you know, the TUV, no matter where they stand, they're always going to be accused by the DUP of splitting the unionist vote, which will, in certain circumstances and in terms of this election, could lead to a loss or two losses to the Alliance Party? There's some indications from the TUV now that they may have decided to carry on regardless, despite that risk.
Well, the TUV will attempt to frame the Westminster election as one between protocol opponents and protocol implementers. And its argument to the DUP will be that really you are no different from Alliance or of the nationalist parties, because your position on the protocol means that you are fundamentally weakening the union, and that's why unionists need to vote for us.
The election, because of how badly the Tories continue to do in the poll, I think most commentators seem agreed that it's not in Rishi Sunak's interests to call this election sooner than he has to. Would you agree with that?
I absolutely think so. November the 14th seems to be the most likely date. And I'm certainly hoping that it is not July the 4th, as is being raised in newspapers, because I have to go to a wedding on that date in Donegal, and I don't want to have to cancel the wedding, and I don't want to miss the election either.
Suzanne Breen, political editor of the Belfast Telegraph, thank you very much.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.